podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi there, I'm Brian Abana, and you're listening to the Mall Over Podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's Mall Over Podcast, the only rugby podcast that gives you all the news, views and opinion on the weekend's rugby action, all with a West Country accent. You can find us on Twitter, we are at Mall Over Podcast, Mall Over Rugby Podcast on Facebook, and you can find all of our podcasts on Apple Pods, on Google, on Anchor and lots of other podcast providers. I'm joined this week by nicest man in Cornish Rugby Podcasting, Ben Eustace. Hi, Ben.
Hi, mate. I'm just going to speak normally this week because I made a weird noise last week.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And there was lots of comments on the weird noise. And I'm also joined by the Lensman. Hi, Doug.
Hello.
That was a very basic introduction. Let's not fanny about with it too much. Some good news on the early autumn internationals match point front. For those of you that don't know, we are running a match point predictor league. So get yourself over to the match point app where you can win pints of Guinness in local Guinness serving establishments. It's not too late to join. So this week there's six autumn internationals. So you can try and predict six scores and win yourself some free Guinness. All you have to do is pick the winner of each game and how many they'll win by. And if you get within 10 points of the correct score, you can win a pint of Guinness for your friend, and get within five points and win a Guinness for yourself. So use the code MALLOVER to join the league. 26 people joined the league last week, lads. Each received a free pint of Guinness inside the Matchpoint app. So that's good news for everybody that joined before the 31st of October. And also, I want to say a big well done to Nuki Hornet and Wales fan. You know, let's not go too deep into that. But Scott Pierce, who is, he predicted a perfect 38-point New Zealand 38, and he had Scotland by 45. So in both matches, he was just 1 point out in total, which makes him joint top in the national league of nearly 20,000 people, which is a pretty decent effort. So, fair play. As we go through, we'll go through and give our match point predictions towards the end of the pod. Looking forward to next week's games.
What does he want? A free pint of Guinness?
Well, if that's not what he wants, that's what he's getting. Maybe he'll get two. Because he was within 5 points. 5 points?
Literally.
5 points. He'll literally get 2 points of Guinness.
Yeah.
Let's not get back into that. So there was some rugby at the weekend. A couple of autumn internationals, as I mentioned. And there was also a full card of Premiership action, which started on Friday night at King's Home for Gloucester versus Exeter, which Exeter ran out victorious. I'm going to put it out there now. I have watched absolutely zero rugby. As discussed, I've been in Portugal. No rugby in Portugal, just lots of beer and golf. Doug?
Well, I was on that end. I have a little idea for a skit we can do instead of our usual rabbiting on about the same old crap that every other podcast rabbits on about.
And idea for a show.
Yeah, idea for a show. Plot thus, ripped straight from the bowels of the Bill Simmons podcast, where him and his mate, cousin Sal, play Guess the Lines.
Right.
Okay, so what they do for each week of the NFL season, they go, Sal goes on to the Vegas bookmakers, and they set handicap lines for each game.
Okay. So
for... And it fits in nicely with Match Point as well. It could give you a little bit of a steer if you're wondering which way to go on some of these matches. So what you need to do...
Or you could ask Scott.
Scott. Well, yeah, you could do that. But what you two need to do, we're going to keep a score over the season. I think we should do this more than once. But
right, so okay.
There are five international matches, obviously, and six Premiership matches, and I'm on Betfair because that's where I am, and I'm looking at the handicaps for each game. So I want you to give me, to the nearest couple of points, a result for Ireland against Japan in score terms. And whoever gets closest to the Betfair number will win that game, and we'll keep a tally. And the winner is the person who gets the most at the end of the podcast.
Okay, so you're going to keep a tally of this, are you?
I will keep a tally. I will endeavour to not fuck that up.
You're going to be tally man, tally whacker. Right. Okay. So Ireland versus Japan to start, then, is it?
Getting my notepad. So the first game I want you to come up with, I guess, the line for is Ireland against Japan. And it needs to be the winner and the result.
Okay. Well,
not the result, the winning margin.
The winning margin.
So Ireland against Japan is quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because Japan have brought over quite a strong squad, I think, and Ireland have picked a couple of bolters.
Yeah, and Ireland aren't their strongest at the moment, are they? They're a side that's very much in transition. A few of the old guard have been left behind. Thing is with Japan, you never really know how they're going to show up. And I think...
You're so close to calling them inscrutable.
No.
In why what? Would
I don't even know what that means.
Well, that's flummoxed the entire podcast.
Isn't that a thing they always used to say back in the day?
Well, maybe.
No idea.
Maybe not.
Let's go with that. Right. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure what sort of Japanese side ever is going to turn up on any given day, but I think they could run Ireland close here. And what I've put on my match point is actually Ireland by 13.
Ireland by 13.
Yes.
Okay. And Ben, what are you going for?
I don't think that's far off, but I think the bookies might have given Ireland a little bit more. So I would say 17.
17. Well, Russ, you're going to get the first one. It's actually Ireland by 13. So
is that what the actual money line is? Is it?
You can have that one, mate, for free. That's not a bad one at all.
Tremendous news.
Good start, and I'm quite pleased with that. So we'll move on to the next game, Italy against New Zealand. Now you could say what they tend to do on the Simmons podcast is they rank the games by watchability. So if we do this again, I'll do that. But
okay,
one of the categories is the poop vector, which is the absolute worst game. So they go poop vector, barely watchable, watchable, and game of the week.
Right.
Okay. So Italy, New Zealand. There's a lot of crap games this week, to be fair. But it's Italy, New Zealand. New Zealand fresh off the back of that absolute arsing of Wales, which everyone loved to see. Bowden Barrett, apparently one of the most overrated players in the world. Yeah. If you listen to old Spud Face,
old wrinkly ball sack. I mean, let's not get too deep into this, but I just wanted to. There were lots of, let's call them pithy remarks on the Guardian website about domestic violence. I'm not condoning domestic violence, obviously, but.
By Spudface.
Not Spudface. By somebody that writes pithy remarks online for The Guardian. Right. And I can't
Isn't
remember
that everyone that writes for The Guardian.
Well, I don't want to upset.
Now I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you not remember I had an argument with somebody who may or may not host another podcast and who claimed to have made it by writing online for
right.
Anyway, and they were talking about how because Wales were getting beat, obviously, and I don't think this individual was actually Welsh, but because they were getting beat, it was very much a case of let's just throw some grenades out there, shall we. I think it was Havili for New Zealand. And then anyway, it's by the by.
So your review of your quick sort of summarization of Italy, New Zealand, basically revolved around domestic violence. Is that
yes,
what
it did.
Saying?
Yes, it did. Yeah, cool. Which cool. In no way, nowhere do I condone.
Okay, well, you know, what are you saying?
Well, I said New Zealand. Oh, go on, Ben, it's you first. You go first this time.
Listen to that. He got it on the nail on the head last time,
yeah.
Which meant I didn't have a chance, but he still wants to go first again. Right, nice.
Yeah, but you don't know. It doesn't matter, does it? Because I don't tell you until you both give me your thing. So
I've idea for a show.
I've very rarely seen the bookies give as much as they might need to in this game.
By the way, if anyone's got the Betfair app open between you two, that's out of order.
I haven't. I'm not a Betfair customer.
I'm recording on my phone, so
okay.
I couldn't. I would say New Zealand by 47.
47, Ben.
That's quite considerable, Ben.
Russ,
I've got New Zealand
just completely asked Wales by that much. So
they have. I've got a feeling it'll be a very different New Zealand side that play against Italy, but I still think they'll be too strong, and it'll be New Zealand by 28.
28. Well, Ben, you're going to get that one because it's actually New Zealand by 56.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's one each.
Are we going to talk about the New Zealand game later? Or
you can if you want. You could talk about it now while we're talking about New Zealand.
Well, I think Beauden Barrett might be the quickest rugby player I've ever seen. Probably not the fastest, but just the quickest. Like, how quickly he moves over short distances and how quick his feet
are.
He's
like Teddy Sheringham. The first 3 yards are in his brain.
Well, yes, but he's also then pretty damn quick as well and pretty fast. But just, I don't know, he seems to be there for interceptions a lot. Obviously, there was two in that game. And just breaking through gaps, he just moves so quickly. Because they say that with American football players, don't they? Some of them are quick and some of them are fast. And I think Barrett's seems to eat up ground as well.
He tends to glide across the turf, doesn't he? Like, almost like you see some players and their legs are going 10 to the dozen, like really, really fast. Some quick players.
I tell you who was the ultimate one for that was Sinotti.
Yeah,
I'm not sure he was ever very fast. I mean, it was huge, but his legs were always going for a Burton, weren't they? And his body was just not.
Yeah.
unless he was goose stepping.
I just think if he had a foot race with Mardle and Yard over 100 metres, just on a track, I bet Yard would beat
Wayne Mardle over 100 metres. Because that's what that sounded, Mardle and Yard. it's a bit of an athletic wonder, isn't he?
Phenom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think on a rugby pitch, he's a lot quicker than a lot of people that would probably beat him over 100 meters on a track.
Yeah.
But then, like you say, you don't have to be outright fast to be fast through a gap, if that makes sense. You would read the gap probably quicker than you would run through it, because other players would.
He makes more of those breaks where there's a dog leg and he spots the dog leg.
Yes.
Than any other player I know.
And that's all to do with how quickly he's thinking, isn't it? And like even like when he takes an interception or something, because he's onto it so fast and he's got the pace to just, you know, it's not like a prop where like the pace difference between him and a winger would be so much that they would still overhaul him. But because he's fairly fast anyway, and then he's thinking so quickly, he's so far ahead that they're never going to catch him. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say about Barrett in that match was I couldn't believe people wanted a yellow card for that knock on, because if he'd caught that, he was under the posts again.
I can't believe people want yellow cards for attempted interceptions. Whether they're,
yeah,
it's nuts. People are the worst.
I mean, he took that second one. He caught that one handed, and then went into the corner. So it's not like you see sometimes a prop with a three man overlap outside him just slaps it into the ground. Yeah. He was trying to catch it, and all right. People might say that he was a bit fortunate because that's the way it's refereed at the moment, but I wouldn't also want to be complaining about it too much either. And, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter because once New Zealand got a lead and decided to enjoy themselves, they just started playing just out of this world at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Which has got to be fun to watch, right? I mean, any time Wales are being literally bent over and having their pants pulled down is an absolute joy to behold.
Agreed.
I mean, it was just there was a 10 or 15 minute period where everything they tried worked. You know, it was just like, I'll just flick this ball up in the air and see what happens. And the offload happened every time. But the try they scored up in the sort of top corner where they went down the sort of left wing was unbelievable. You know, still a very impressive team on their day, aren't they?
Oh, I don't think there's any better really on their day, but they're not like any team. They're not infallible, are they? And it's just one of those things. But I'd much rather watch them play than watch South Africa play.
Yeah. You know? I thought the Welsh back row went well.
Who was it? Moriarty, Basham.
Moriarty went off just before half time. But Basham was excellent, carried really well, got around the pitch. And Wainwright's just a quality player, and he had a really decent shift at eight.
It's quite lightweight though, that to me. Like we've talked about England's back row being potentially lightweight, but Moriarty is quite a lump. But other than that, I don't, you know, Basham and Wainwright aren't the most physical, are they?
No.
I don't know. I love Wainwright, man. I think he's a decent
player. He's a really good player.
He's the one Welshman I wish was English. I think him and Curry Curry Underhill would be an emotional back row.
Fair enough. Right, Ben, did you give your? Oh, we did New Zealand, didn't we?
We did New Zealand. So we'll save England Tonga. Let's go France Argentina. I don't know too much about what's going on with this game or what kind of squad Argentina have got out, but France at home, surely you would think would be too strong, right?
Yeah, but again, like, because I don't know what Argentina have travelled with, and they've always got, you know, that grit and determination, haven't they, Argentina? But they also sometimes tend to fall away. If they don't stay in games for long enough early on, they tend to fall away.
Didn't have it in the Falklands, did they? That's all you need to know, mate.
I mean, that's true.
Topical.
I think it's France by 10.
France by 10. Russ, France by 10.
Yeah, I was going to say France by 12.
You can say the same thing. Like, what I would urge you to do is have a look at the Premiership games. And while we're chatting about this, maybe jot down your predictions for those games so that you don't feel like you need to say something different to the other person.
Fair enough.
While we're live. While we're live talking.
I was going to say 12 anyway.
12?
Yeah.
Okay, so Russ, Ben, you're going to get this one. It's France by 17.
Hmm.
So, Ben, you're 2-1 up.
Fair enough.
About that. Oh, Mark Two's just walked in wearing a rather snazzy
leotard.
Netball outfit. Not far off, yeah, netball outfit.
I got player of the match.
She got player of the match. Amazing. Oh,
tremendous. Well done, Mark Two.
Moving on, because we won't know too much about that, and I really want to get to the Premiership games.
Yeah,
Wales against South Africa could be an interesting game. I don't know. Were too many of the Welsh players stricken, and what kind of squad are South Africa going to put out?
Well, the likes of Faf, Faf's not available, is he? He's not playing. And there's a couple of other notable absentees.
And obviously, Lou Diaga was captaining in Worcester last week, so he's not going to be fresh, is he, or having trained with the squad at all?
Luke, whenever I hear Luke Diaga, I want to break into a Maroon 5 song. Because they've got the Lou Diaga. They got the woo, Lou Diaga.
You fat prick.
Stop it. It sounds bad.
It's been something I've wanted to say.
Stop getting Maroon 5 wrong.
It's something I've wanted to, like, I've thought about it so many times, I can't believe no one's ever said it.
What was the other one you used to sing?
I can't remember.
There was another one, weren't there? Yeah.
Definitely. It'll probably come to me.
It's a pretty brutal couple of games for Wales, although Wales would be sort of strengthened by, you'd imagine, Dan Bigger will be in.
Premiership players.
Tao and some of those players. So you'd imagine that they'll be slightly stiffer backed, but still, it's a big ask, right?
Yeah, I absolutely. And yeah, again, off the back of a strong rugby championship, you know, where they lost to Australia. I think of all the teams that can play the way that South Africa play, very much Gatland ball, Wales are very much in that mold, because of the way that Gatland had set them up for so many years.
I can only imagine that there will be a world record number of box kicks in this match.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Maybe we should do a market on under over number of box kicks. And I think the line would be 3,000.
The Springboks are without Faf de Klerk, Cheslin Kolbe, Malherbe, Snyman, PD, PSDT, not to be confused with PTSD. And I mean, you might get PTSD after playing PSDT.
You're watching.
Yeah.
What are you saying then, Russ?
South Africa by 9.
By 9. Benjamin.
South Africa by 2.
By 2. Russ is going to get that one, South Africa by 7.
Ooh.
Which I think is criminally low. I think they're going to absolutely dick them.
Well, we can hope. We can only hope.
All right, so we're into games that we probably care a little bit more about. England against Tonga. I mean, I care marginally more about this. I don't know whether Jones is going to throw the kitchen sink at it, put down a marker, or if he's going to start Farrell and Tuilagi and Slade.
He has to start Smith versus Tonga, right? Do you think?
Does he?
Well, if he's not, does he wrap him
in cotton wool?
No, I think if he doesn't start him against Tonga, then he won't. He's not going to play him against Australia the following week. He's just not going to do it. Or are we just going to be clamouring for him to play Marcus Smith all the time? I think the Tonga game is absolutely ideal for him. And he could play Smith, Tuilagi, Slade. He could play Smith, Farrell, Tuilagi if he wants to. I think Farrell will definitely play.
That's what he's going to play, isn't it? He's going to play that in all the games, I would imagine. Well,
I would hope so. But I could also see a world where he plays Farrell, Tuilagi, Slade with maybe Smith on the bench against some of the bigger boys.
I mean, are we in danger of overthinking this because Tonga literally got smashed to pieces by Scotland's second 11 last week?
Well, I suppose that's the danger, isn't it? But England, you only have to look at the summer internationals against the USA, Canada. You look at the previous times we've played Samoa and Japan, and like the first game of the autumn internationals, how many times have we, England just been really shit? in that first game, and everyone's gone, what the fuck was all that about?
Let's get a line on, and so we can go and do the Premiership.
Okay, Ben, you go first.
England by 47.
Russ?
England by 35.
Ben's going to get this one. Amazingly, it's England by 56 again. So, and I still think that might even be a bit too conservative. I think we're looking at a USA-New Zealand score here.
You think?
Potentially, yeah. I think it's going to be bad for everyone involved. I don't think there's going to be too many positives to come from that particular effort.
No, okay.
So if we go on to the Premiership then, we've got some... it's a bit of a tame week of fixtures, in my view. We've got Leicester v Bath, top versus bottom on Friday. Then Bristol Worcester, Saracens Irish, Sale Saints, Exeter Newcastle and Wasps Quins on the Sunday. So we'll start with doing chronological order, shall we? Top v bottom, Leicester against Bath.
I mean, you would think in all circumstance, it would be a one-way arsing because of the way the season's gone. However, at some point, Bath have to put a performance in. It's just not going to be this game, unfortunately. Especially if it's at Welford Road. So,
what has Stuart Hooper got to do to get sacked?
Probably knock out Bruce Craig's daughter.
Knock out or up?
No, out.
Okay.
I think he'd be pretty popular if he knocked him up. You know, I think Bruce Craig probably loves him.
It's rife throughout sport, isn't it? These coaches that just sort of live on their likability. If you look at, you know, Solskjaer at United, in the NFL, there was a guy called Jason Garrett, who was the Cowboys coach for probably 50 years and was crap constantly. And just would never get sacked. And so it got to the point where even the guy that loved him, and I think you got to think it's coming soon for Hooper if they don't get off the bottom. They're adrift now, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Ben, as a Cornwall's favourite Bath fan.
Is he still there?
I just think, you know, it's going wrong, isn't it? But who are you going to replace him with? I mean, people keep saying Diamond, but
I mean, I'm not a big fan of that bucket move. For a head would probably do as good a job, right?
I'd like to just find someone, you know, someone that would inspire me, you know, a name that would, you know, if it's just some
Dougie Barda.
Yeah, I mean that could do it.
Helen Rolleston.
I was going to make a joke about him not having a leg to stand on, but you just shouted out another name and ruined it. I just think, you know, they could find someone from the Southern Hemisphere that I've never heard of. Well, that's
Todd Blackadder.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it because that joke's been done to death, but you know, they could find someone from the Southern Hemisphere that no one's ever heard of, or recycle someone from the Premiership. So, you know, a former player as a coach would probably be the best option, but it doesn't seem like they've got the right former player. You know, you've got, you know, someone like Vesti, who's getting rave reviews, and he finished off at Bath, I believe. So, you know, maybe something like that. But then they tried Gervin Dempsey and that was not successful. So, I don't know.
I think the biggest problem for you lot is that Leicester are going to have their fly half, who's making the team sing at the moment, and you guys are going to be without about seven players.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, George Ford is, you know, Eddie Jones is risking looking a bit stupid, because he's playing so well. And all right, so is Marcus Smith. And I think, like everyone, I agree that Smith should be starting for England. But the fact that Ford isn't there to be on the bench is a little bit of an odd move, I think, especially because he's been so loyal to him for so long. You know, all right, I mean, I you know, Farrell could step into 10 if something happens to Smith, but also Ford's playing really well and it wouldn't make the squad any worse to have him in it. You know, again, exactly what you just said. He was brilliant against Saints on Saturday. Played so well. You know, I did think to myself, as, you know, Saints had that dropout from under their own posts, with the score as it was, it made sense for them to have a crack at a drop goal. And, you know, Ford, luckily it went to Ford and he just absolutely middled it, didn't he, between the posts. But, you know, again, it's a heads up play. It's easy for me to think that watching it on the screen with the score, like in big letters at the bottom, or numbers probably for a score at the bottom of the screen. But, you know, it's not quite so easy when you're playing. And, you know, he's just, you know, his passing game is really good. And you know, I just think he's a bit hard done by.
So come on, let's have a prediction.
I think because it's the Premiership and the gulf is between the teams, even top and bottom, isn't as, you know, high as in internationals. I don't think it'd be quite as much as some of the games we've just talked about. So I think it might be Leicester by 15.
Leicester by 15.
Yeah, Russell? I was gonna say Leicester by 16.
16. Russ, you're going to get it on the nose at 16 points.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, for a Bath team to be underdogs by 16 points in any match speaks volumes about where they are as a club.
Yeah.
I think they've got... The frustrating thing is they've got some really good players. And like Dougie just said, they'll be missing quite a few internationals. Whereas, you know, there are other teams that won't lose as many internationals, but are doing a lot better at actually winning rugby matches. I mean,
it's that thing that Adam Exeter had for quite some time, isn't it? They never used to lose players to internationals.
Like De Glanville scored a lovely try on Saturday, didn't he? But, you know, he's one of the few that, you know, isn't injured or called up. I'm just trying to recall the Leicester game. But, you know, I don't think they're going to be losing nearly as many. I mean, Stewart was out, wasn't he? And obviously Ben Youngs.
Nick Dolly's away.
Yeah. But, yeah, other than that, they've still got a lot of key players there, haven't they? Is Visa playing for South Africa?
Potentially.
Yeah. But actually, Dan Cole's playing really well as well.
Well,
you know, they've still got him.
Yeah. No, Leicester love far too much.
So... We're all tied up at three going into the last five games, by the way. Tense.
Ooh, exciting. Tense.
All right, then. Bristol-Worcester. Russ, what are you saying for Bristol-Worcester?
A prediction straight away. And then, okay, Bristol by 10.
Bristol by 10.
Do you know, I was going to say Bristol by 9.
Bristol by 9. Well, Russ is going to get that one because it's Bristol by 14. Which, when you consider where Bristol were last year and how shite Worcester have been, that's a small margin, right?
Especially at Ashton Gate. And you think, you know, Worcester off the back of a pretty decent victory at home to Sale last week. You know, the likes of Van der Merwe, you know, after I gave him an absolute verbal shoeing last week, Shilcock put in a performance
which I heard made him cry.
Well, he's obviously proved me wrong, hasn't he? You know, I gave him a, you know, I made him literally cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there you go.
The bad thing for Worcester is that they're going to lose all their good players because, well, they're good player because Sutherland has gone and Van der Merwe has gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could argue how much impact Van der Merwe would have on the wing sort of by himself with, you know, the likes of Shilcock put Van der Merwe in. And that try, Van der Merwe's try was very good.
Yeah, and Shilcock played incredibly well yesterday, on Saturday.
Who did he put on his ass? Literally went, get off me.
Oh, yeah. And then Van der Merwe ran over the Sale winger, didn't he?
Yeah.
That last try to wrap it up. I don't know where that performance came from for Worcester. It did, like, completely out of nowhere. Completely out of nowhere. It's so weird.
You were there, weren't you? Were you in the chair?
I wasn't
chair?
There. I was directing that match from High Wycombe.
Is that the new scenario to direct?
Yeah, remote OBs. For Eddie, if you're listening, Ed, what you get at halftime is the melt. That is what we send to all the world feed. All the TV companies that purchase the rights for the Premiership get those. It's called a melt. It's the run of all the tries so that they can build their highlights packages. And the only way we can send it, because we have limited satellite time, is to do it at halftime and full time. That's where you get it. I'm going to see what I can do about that.
Ooh. Big time.
it's not great, but you know, it's an obligation as a world feed provider to do that. So yeah, that's why you get it, mate. It's not our fault that Peacock choose not to. I mean, it's an expensive process to put presentation at every match, be that in the studio in the States or at the ground.
Yeah.
So that's why you get that. But yeah.
But Worcester are above Bristol in the table after last weekend.
It's mad, isn't it?
Although they played a game more.
I just don't understand them. It was completely out of nowhere. I was expecting basically them to turtle up and have Sale tickle their bellies, but it didn't happen.
Is it Duncan that quite often says it in our little Twitter group that Worcester save up their good performances for international windows?
Well, they used to when it was when it meant something.
Yeah, but maybe that they're still sort of, you know, game planning for, you know, Sale don't have that many England players, but they've got a couple of sort of key players who would have been unavailable.
They've got a dick load of South Africans.
Well, yeah, they didn't have Quirk, De Klerk, Tuilagi
with a smirk,
Curry.
Yeah.
So they were missing a fair few players, but, you know, that was a, And to be fair, if you listen to Sanderson's post match interview, he was foaming, and Sale refused to put a player up for interview. So I would imagine they were getting torn a new one in the changing room.
Yeah, but that, although, I mean, that Sale side,
I didn't feel like it was a bad Sale performance. It certainly didn't feel like they were lazy. They were competitive at the breakdown. They weren't giving away stupid penalties. They were just beaten.
Yeah. I mean, you look at that Sale side, though. Man for man, you would think that they would have a bit too much for them, wouldn't you? But I think Sale are really... They're missing AJ McGinty massively.
He played.
Did he?
Yeah,
he came off the bench. On,
yeah.
Pretty He's... early as well.
Mm, fair enough.
Moving on. Unless you've got anything you want to say about Bristol.
Nope.
Okay, moving on. Saracens, London Irish.
Well, got to be Saracens.
Up until a week ago, you would have said it was in the balance, but two pretty dominant performances by Sarries, right?
Yeah, London Irish score a lot, though, don't they? So Saracens by 14.
14, Russ.
I mean, London Irish, they're tenacious. They were on the wrong end of one last weekend, but I will go. I think Saracens will just melt them. And I think it'll be Saracens by 20.
Have you got the website open?
No.
Because that's like the third one you've got bang on the nose.
I'm looking at flash scores and I'm looking at London Irish versus Bristol from last week. But yeah.
Yeah, that's bang on. That's by 20, which I think is punchy given the amount of players that Saracens won't have, because you'd imagine Cock will be away. Who else? Well, they'll have the Vunipolas. They'll have Lazowski. Good.
Tompkins. Well, Tompkins with Wales? Maybe not. You think he would have been with Wales last week if he was going to be with Wales, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think, wouldn't you? But yeah, well, no, because it's outside of an international window, so Saracens didn't have to release him.
So Tompkins might be back with them, but they'll keep Earl. Earl will be back in, like you say. Yeah. I think Saracens will be okay.
And Irish lose no one, which, I mean, it depends how that, for me, it depends how that Irish backline plays, because if Rona and Jackson and the other fella, Hepatema, if they're all playing, and then you've got that back three, Parton, Loader and Hassel Collins.
That is such an exciting back three. It really excites people.
I think Hassel Collins has been unlucky not to get called up, actually. I think he's a brilliant player.
I think he's got to be. I mean, it's all the talk about Lewis Lynher, isn't it? And he's been called up now this week. And I think, you know, maybe somebody like Johnny May has been really fortunate to get another call up, and Hassel Collins can't be far away. He's got amazing physicality and he's really quick.
I don't know if he's good enough in the air, though. That's the thing. And I think Jones really values that. If you look at the wingers that he picks, they're almost fullbacks, aren't they? Which is why I think I think it was more surprising that Lynher wasn't picked up, because he is essentially a fullback, isn't he?
Yeah. Definitely. He's got a bit more of an all-round game, isn't he? But he's definitely a finisher. Knows where the try line is, Hassel Collins.
Yeah.
Reminds me a bit of Ben Cohen. Reminds me a bit of Ben Cohen. That's all he reminds me of.
That's a good shout. Good shout.
Right, that is surprisingly accurate.
A bit of astute.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I thought it might have confused you again.
It's the first not shit thing you've said in a podcast for years.
Fair. I mean, I can't argue it.
Saracens, though, that to win against Quins at the weekend, I mean, they're just the same old Saracens, right? But slightly less cheaty.
It was the manner of the victory, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't watch the game, but Quins 19-9 up at half time, you know, and then it felt like, or I guess it felt like, Saracens just wore them down and just suffocated them until they just couldn't take any more.
Which is what they've been doing for a decade.
Absolutely.
Forever, yeah. And fair play to Matt as well, who called it at half time.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Sale Northampton. Now, Northampton have had some good results at Sale over the years. And if there's a time to play Sale, it's when they haven't got either of their nines, which a lot of their play tends to go through. So
I guess it'll be Cliff. It'd be Cliff for Sale, wouldn't it?
Well, Cliff, no, it was a young lad that played. I don't know if Cliff's injured, but he wasn't involved on Saturday. So if he, you know, you'd think that if he was fit, he'd be playing, but it was two young lads. Where are we going with this one then, Russ?
Sale at home against Northampton with AJ McGinty probably starting, with Northampton without the likes of Dan Bigger. I'm going to say it'll be Sale by 8.
Ben, what you got?
I think this one will be nearly a scratch game. I think bookies might give Sale by 1.
Sale by 1. So Russ by Sale by 8, Ben Sale by 1, and it's actually Sale by 4. So Ben, you get that one.
Mother Hubbard.
Just. Yeah, Sale by 4. I mean, that speaks to where these... I still think Sale will have too much beef for Saints. I think Sale and Northampton will struggle against, as they showed last week, against Leicester and Sale and Saracens and Exeter, even though they've beaten Exeter this season. I just think they're going to struggle against teams that can just smash them up.
I think that's one thing that's always been a bit of an issue with Northampton, is a real lack of physicality. And the players that offer Northampton even more physicality than what they've got, the likes of Courtney Laws, for instance, is going to be a monumental miss, as he would be out of every team. But, you know, say bigger, I guess Matavesi won't be around if Fiji are playing this week. Fiji are playing next weekend, aren't they? They're not playing this weekend, I don't think. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. It really is. And I just don't think they're going to be strong enough to beat Sale.
I think the good thing about Saints pack, and Ben, I don't know if you were going to jump in there, but I've talked over you anyway. The good thing about their pack is that
I'll just keep talking. It's going to keep losing. Talking over you.
They're not actually going to lose that many players. Their whole front row stays. Their second row stays. Their back row will stay as well. Don't they? Do they lose Ludlam?
Did
Ludlam?
Yeah. Call yeah. Up?
They'll lose Ludlam, but they can bring in Wood. So, whereas Sale will lose quite a few. I don't know if the Dupriers have been called up by South Africa.
One of them has. I think the...
They'll definitely lose... do they lose the hooker as well, Visa?
No.
No, he's the 8, isn't he, the Visa there?
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. So
Cobus Feast. Oh, there's so many Visas and Van der Mervas.
I just think there's the two sides. Sale definitely need a performance, and Saints definitely need a performance after that, getting pumped at home by Leicester. So could be
after Sale losing to Worcester, I think Sanderson will be literally drilling them into oblivion this week. And Will he's not going to drill them into oblivion.
I bet you edit that out. You
I won't. There's no way I'm finding that again. But he absolutely will be drilling them into oblivion, and he'll be so pissed off with the way they performed that there'll be a reaction from Sale.
Yeah. Anything to add, Ben?
No.
Cool. So going into the last two fixtures, if Russ wins this one, he gets the week. So, Ben, Exeter against Newcastle.
Exeter at home, obviously, I would say by 12.
12 for Ben. Exeter by 12. Russ?
I actually think it could be closer, because the way Exeter have been performing this season, you know, losing to London Irish, only scraping past Gloucester, whilst the bookies might still see the historical performances, I think personally it will be closer. But we're talking about the money line. I'm going to say Exeter by 10.
Exeter by 10. It's actually Exeter by 16. So Ben's going to get that one and take it to the last match of the last match of the first week. I don't see that result really.
Not by 16.
No.
Or the way that Exeter have been playing.
I mean, you'd have to go back and look at the history of the fixtures. I seem to remember Newcastle on the back of a few hidings down in Exeter.
Long old way, innit? Longest trip in the Premiership. So, you know, maybe they don't like the bus journey.
But it's good geography, that, mate.
Thanks. I just like no
probably fly down there, don't they?
Well, you know, it's the COP26 this week, isn't it? So maybe they'll try and do their digital their carbon footprint.
I mean, Morrow Air Force One trying to solve world temperatures, they'd know what the fucking year is.
Yeah, it's true. But they just Exeter are they seem to be in a bit of a state of flux. They can't get going. Their game that they've relied on for quite some time seems to have been taken away from them a little bit. Just
that pre-latching.
The pre-latching, but also the, you know, the whole 5 meter scrum thing as well. Is they used to get held up so many times over the line and then they just get another 5 meter scrum. So it would that just be that relent. Now teams can get away from their own line a little bit and force those errors. And as you say, the pre-latching doesn't help. And it's easy. It's a lot easier for teams to defend that type of constrictive play. And I just think it makes it harder for Exeter to score the tries that they used to score. 20. 30,
how many more? 30. How many more games do Exeter need to lose before Baxter starts feeling the pressure? How much goodwill do you think he has in the bank?
I mean, I don't think it's this season.
Yeah, are we talking about 2 seasons worth?
Two seasons worth. What, 2 seasons of missing the playoffs?
I don't think it matters too much this season if they miss the playoffs. I'm going to say it now.
He said it. Russ Wilson.
Yeah. I don't think it matters too much.
Fair.
I think there's obviously with Saracens coming back and they've shown what they're
What would need to happen for Baxter to get sacked this season?
He would have to break into Tony Rowe's office and
pinch one off on the desk.
Physically destroy all Exeter Chiefs related branding and branch out on his own.
He might have to.
I think this is an idea
for
a podcast on its own, isn't it? What would it take for the DOR to get sacked?
Yeah. I reckon it would. He would have to. Take an RPG to the Southwest Comms building and pinch one off on Tony Rowe's desk.
What did you say, Ben? Sorry. I really talked over you again.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I just think he would have to do something literally criminal. I mean, he's even allowed to drive his sheep through the center of town, isn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's allowed to do
literally.
That.
Literally.
Would you buy some sheep just so you could do that?
I mean, he's probably
I think he's got some, isn't he? Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah.
Why isn't he doing it? I'd do that every Friday at about 3:30. Just as schools were kicking out.
But he could get away with it. There'd be enough Exeter fans in that traffic. They'd be like,
I don't know. There'd be some raging. There going, oh, you shouldn't be wearing a headdress.
There'll definitely be a few mums in T5s. Yeah. Completely unnecessarily.
Oh, for sure.
Like, why are you driving a T5? You're just taking the kids 5 miles to school and back. Oh, yeah, but it's a lifestyle choice. Fuck off, love. Oh, well, we go camping at weekends. Yes, but it's literally an empty van with a bench seat in the front and 2 single seats in the back.
Russell, they need that van for the giant double pram that they use to block up all the aisles in Costa.
Yeah. Fucking waste of space.
So that concludes our extensive roundup of the Exeter v Newcastle match. Yeah. And if you're so, hanging on for the result.
What's the conclusion that Rob Baxter would have to punch?
He'd have to commit a war crime.
Yeah, punch a middle class woman in a traffic jam caused by his own sheep with getting the sack.
There you go.
Right.
Done.
As well as genocidal atrocities.
Yeah. Right. So
although he'd probably get a job at Newcastle United if he did that.
Right, last game of the weekend, Wasps against Harlequins. Who you got, Russ?
I've got Quins. Although they'll be missing Smith and Don Brandt and Liner.
Marla,
that's a few. I don't think the bookies will have them.
Cruise Liner.
I don't think that the bookies will instill Wasps as favourites. I mean, gone are the days where Wasps are going to lose a lot of players to internationals. Again, a lot like a couple of other teams. And off the back of that victory at Bath, I think it will be the money line will sit with Quins, and it will sit with Quins by 9.
Okay. Ben?
I think this is the most difficult one of the lot because Quins are short of a lot of players.
This is where you need to pre-write down your answers because Ben could be tactical here, but you shouldn't be. I think if we do this again, I'll get you to submit your answers before we do it.
Ooh. Okay. I'm like Russ. I think the bookies will still give it to Quins. So I think Quins by 5.
Okay. Ben, you're going to win it.
Fuck off, mate. Fuck off, Betfair.
Quins by 2.
I mean...
Wasps are losing literally losing no one.
Yeah. And Quins are losing 5 of their stars.
Yeah.
And Joe Marler.
How many ahead am I?
You won 6-5 this week.
Russ, do you want to do Scotland, Australia?
Did I miss that one?
You did.
Ah, okay. Well, you can do Scotland, Australia if you want.
Okay. Well, that's going to be Australia by 12.
Australia by 7.
That's on Sunday, isn't it? That's why I missed it.
Yeah.
So you've got Scotland by what? Sorry, Russ?
12. Australia by 12.
Australia by 12. Ben?
Australia by 7.
And Ben's going to get that one as well because it's actually Australia by 3.
I mean, Betfair, they know what they're talking about.
So
I would suggest that I know what I'm talking about. Betfair does not.
Russ loses 7-5 this week.
There you go.
There you go. If you enjoyed that, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Some juncture if you haven't watched a lot of rugby.
That was good fun. And a good way to talk about rugby without watching much rugby. Which is good. So should we do some any other business and get the flock out of here? A bit like Rob Bankster.
Yeah.
Go on then, Doug.
Oh, you want me to go?
Oh, do you want me to come back to you?
No.
Shock.
Just for old time's sake.
Go on, Ben.
I've got well under 10% battery left, so I'll leave it.
Fair enough.
By any other businesses, why are people such tight cunts and won't buy new phones?
or put the phones on charge.
That's the only reason you're sitting at 10% battery at 10 to 10. The second series of Dave is on BBC iPlayer. If you haven't watched Dave, give it a look.
I watched a couple of episodes of that the other week. It was on randomly at like 9:30 on a Sunday night or 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. It was just a bit weird. Didn't really understand it.
It's funny. You watch it from the start. It's just about an aspiring Jewish rapper called Lil Dicky. If you've never heard of him, he's a real life rapist. Yeah, sure. he's sort of a comedy kind of rapper, but he just apparently just knows everyone in the world because they all turn up in this sitcom at some point. I won't ruin the central conceit, but it's a very, very entertaining show, quite thought-provoking. There's a bloke in it who's bipolar, who's works with Bill Dickey in real life, who's actually bipolar. Quite a lot of, you know, I'm not a left-wing leaning bloke who cares about a lot of left-wing sort of issues, but there are common commentaries on certain aspects of cultural appropriation, which I think are handled very well for somebody that
doesn't really care too much for cultural appropriation.
Doesn't really care too much. Yeah, yeah. It's just a very well observed show.
Does he wear Native American headdress?
No, but so he gets. They do. Someone has a go at him in an episode for rapping in black voice.
The episode I watched was the episode with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's the episode I watched. Yeah. That's actually the episode I watched.
It's very funny.
Yeah, that's why I found it just odd that he was rapping.
But if you've only watched that episode in isolation, it'll make no sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And there is another show that I'd having listened to The Long Snapper this week and heard everyone say that that typical thing of I recommended Squid Game, I think, before all the hype, right?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure I did, like day two of release or something like that. But apparently it's all been seen before and all been done before. If you want something that's completely original and will make you laugh and grow to like and care for characters and like well-observed comedy, there's a couple of things. Obviously, Dave is on iPlayer, if you've got that. It's if you don't want to sign up to the BBC because you know it's the BBC, you can watch the first series on Disney, and also on Disney Plus there is a series called Reservation Dogs, which is about a group of kids on a Native American reservation, which is very funny.
I mean, are you allowed to say that?
What?
I don't know. I'm just joking.
Sorry. Yeah. Well observed comedy.
Unlike mine.
Yeah. That was the game. Shit me, tough room today. Reservation Dogs.
That's the joke.
Oh God, I think that's just bypassed me. So the world of football, Premier League football management took another drastic turn today for my team, Tottenham Hotspur, where they've sacked another manager, this time only after 17 games. And we talked about Rob Baxter earlier, having money in the bank. Obviously, poor Nuno Espirito Santo had absolutely no credit in the bank. And at what point? So management in general, not just of sport or whatever, is, you know, a manager, you're only as good as the people you're managing, whether that is by skill or will or whatever. But at what point do some of these overhyped fucking whinging Premier League footballers just have to, well, I'm going to answer my own question here. The answer is never. But take some responsibility, because Tottenham have been utter shit for the entire of this season. Shit to watch, not even being shit to watch and getting good results, just being shit to watch. And fans of any sport, we watch sport to be entertained. Sport's supposed to be entertainment as well as being a results business. And when you've got players that are mediocre at best, that are apparently being toxic in the dressing room because they're not getting a game, and I'm looking at you, Harry Winks, because I know that you're listening. It's just like, you know, at what point did football stop becoming about working hard and trying to get back in the team to whinging to the chairman that the manager's not picking you because you've been at the club a long time?
And I don't think that's a new phenomenon at all.
I think it is not necessarily new. I think it's a lot more prevalent now than it's ever been.
Well, I think it's more widely reported now. I think it's always been a thing. I literally left the team once because I was on the bench for a game.
Yeah. It's not about being on the bench for a game, though, is it? It's about not accepting or not doing the right thing to potentially get back in the team. Now, we all know that managers, again, in all walks of life, if they don't fancy her, they just don't fancy her. And that's why players and managers kind of move on in general. But
mate, I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's a new phenomenon. I think it's been going on for years and like decades.
What I can't understand with sacking of football managers is the kind of fan you get on the talk shows, the phone-ins of smaller clubs. You know, I can understand sometimes like a club that's, you know, expected to win trophies every season gets rid of a manager, but you'll have someone like Watford or Wolves and you've got fans calling for the manager to be sacked because they finished eighth in the Premiership or ninth in the Premiership.
My other team, Charlton Athletic, we went through a period of real success with Alan Kirbishley, got us into the Premier League, finished fifth in the Premier League. You know, we're doing really well. Then all of a sudden, it wasn't good enough. They got rid of Kirbishley, bought another bloke in who got us relegated literally the following season. It's just the perpetual idiocy of football fans. It never ceases to amaze.
It's like Watford with how many managers is it in 10 years?
17.
14 or something. And it's like, what do you expect? You expecting to finish above Liverpool and Man United every season?
Yeah.
You know?
It's that like Norwich have got that Daniel Farke, haven't they? And
nobody on earth is going to do better with Norwich City Football Club. They're just
100%,
not.
100%. And they will always
be happy that they're in the Premier League every other season.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you only got to look down the leagues, couple of leagues, League One, League Two is littered with teams that were in the Premiership, that sacked their managers and never got back up.
I was thinking about this the other day and I was only thinking about it because I went to watch Plymouth against Bolton, right? I went to watch Plymouth Argyle against Bolton. And then I looked at League Two and, at League One. And in League One, for teams that used to be in the Premiership, there is Wigan, there is Sunderland, there is Sheffield Wednesday, there is Ipswich, there is Portsmouth, there is Bolton, there is Charlton. You know, all those clubs were... You know, not necessarily stalwarts, but they had long successful periods in the Premier League. Yeah. And they've just fallen away.
So just to give you an indication of what happened to Charlton, 1991 to 2006, they had Alan Kirbishley in charge. So that's what, 15 years?
15 years.
In the interceding 15 years, they've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 managers.
Wow.
And they're currently bottom of League One.
Yep.
That's what happens when you sack managers constantly.
Well, 16 of the 24 championship clubs have all been in the Premier League at one point in time or another. Which is
it's
madness.
It's bad. It's bad. There you go.
That's correct. And that is why Rob Baxter should not get sacked by Exeter unless he takes an RPG to Southwest Comms. And on that note, thank you very much for that little money line game, Douglas. Kind of passing time.
I'm going to play you out with some Little Dicky.
Go on.
There you go.
Okay, so are we just going to call this podcast title Dave or Little Dicky? Or Lil Di- is it Lil Dicky, as in L-I-L?
The Lil Dicky Appreciation Hour.
L-I-L Dicky, D D-I-C-K-Y yeah. or I-E. Yeah.
Punching a T5 driver.
Yeah.
Cultural appreciation support. Anyway, we're going. Thanks very much for your time, and I will speak to you all next week. Go well.
Sports Social Podcast Network.